Good evening, everyone. It's an absolute a pleasure and a chizuk to see so many people here learning on a Thursday night. We have to thank very sincerely David and Didi for sponsoring tonight's shir. We don't have meat during the 9 days. Ein simcha l'basar v'yayin is the main reason explained. When you see a spread like this, you know, we have many more people when we have when we serve dairy. And we thank them very much. The shir tonight is being sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas in memory of Didi's father, Rav Yosef Ben Aryeh. Rabbi Joseph Dietcher is a namesake for Joseph Matthew. Rabbi Dietcher, he's the 25th Yurt site is Erev Yom Kippur, was a Rav in Chicago for many years and was very involved in Kiruv before Kiruv was really as popular as it is today. From what I understand from speaking to David and Didi, he had a very infectious smile, was very nice and loving to all Jews, which ultimately is the secret to successful anything. Certainly Kiruv, and hopefully the learning tonight will bring an Eloi to his Nisham. But it's also in Zechus Refuah Shleima for David's father, Chaim Mordechai ben Bluma, who's he should have a Refuah Shleima Bekarv. So thank you very much. What got this year going, besides the fact that it's Erev Tisha B'Av, it's actually Erev Tisha B'Av, was someone recently told me a joke. I guess you don't maybe start a Erev Tisha B'Av shir with a joke. And they said to me, what does Tisha B'Av and Bein Azmanim have in common? Bein Azmanim is in classic yeshivas where there isn't semesters. Bein Azmanim is vacation, basically. So what does Bein Azmanim and Tisha B'Av have in common? So I didn't know. So he said to me, you wear Crocs, you put on tefillin at mincha, you don't learn, and you watch a lot of movies. That was the line that they said. And I laughed a little bit. And when you start thinking about it, Tisha B'Av has become almost a day of excellent entertainment and engagement. The videos, but it's the Chafetz Chaim, it's Torah. Entertainment is perhaps the wrong word. But the Chafetz Chaim videos, there's the A video and the B video, and Project Inspire has an amazing video on Eshet Torah, and we almost have forgotten how to actually mourn, or forgotten maybe is the wrong word, on Tisha B'Av. And I try to focus a little bit tonight on how to make Tisha B'Av a little bit more meaningful. It's certainly, anyone who went to camp when they were younger, Tisha B'Av in camp is a lot more meaningful with the kumzitz and the fire and the Beis HaMikdash. And since I've come back from camp, I'm searching, I'm looking for a way to try to have a more meaningful Tisha B'Av. I don't know that I've figured it out yet. Hopefully together we'll try to come up with something. We often hear people say, we say, have an easy and meaningful fast. So we'll talk tonight, are you allowed to make your fast easy and how to make it meaningful? Why do I say, are you allowed to make it easy? There's a debate, and the first part will be a little bit more halachic. There's a debate in the poskim, the Rabban discussed, can a person take pills to make the fast easier? There people sell the pills, whether it's caffeine pills, Advil, time release, different vitamins. Is that okay or not? And not everyone is a fan of taking medication to make the fast easier. If you flip to the first page with the sources, which is source 3, page 3, I still haven't figured out how to start page 3 with page 1. If anyone knows, you could help me. I had 10 guys trying to help me today. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlita, as a sefer, Kovitz Halachos, with his Halachic Sorm, Halachic Psakim, and he writes in the first source, Eino min haroi, it's not proper, kolkach. So it's not so proper. It's not bad. It's not so proper. Likach kadurim, to take pills. Omine tipot, erev Tisha B'Av, lahakel me'alav hatainis. A person should not take pills to make the fast easier. It's not. If a person's fasting is very difficult, they can become very weak. So then they can take them. And we'll talk a little bit later about what's the story this year. This year you have a whole other slew of problems because it's Shabbos. We don't take medicine on Shabbos. We'll get to that in a minute. You shouldn't take these pills on Erev Tisha B'Av. Why not? So in the footnote he writes, Amar Mori Rabbi Shlita, and this is a little Yud Ches right under source one. Daf Shein Isser Bekach. There's no prohibition. Mikol Makom Ein Min Haroi Lehischakim Lahakel Me'alav Inu Yatainis. It's no Isser. It's not prohibited, but it's not proper to become so smart to make the affliction less, or to have less pain. So why not? There's inui. The whole point, we have the five inuyim. We're supposed to, it's not supposed to be super easy. If it's so easy and it's so comfortable, then it's kind of we're missing the point. And he quotes an Eli Rabba in source two. This is I had never seen this before. The Eli Rabba is an early Acharon commentary on the Levush. Writes, Matsasi, I found, Shlo Yochal Balayla Yoster Meharogil Shalo. I don't know anyone who follows this. Don't eat more than you normally eat. Most people, the opposite. It's Erev Tisha B'Av, and everyone has their own shtick and how they're going to have an easier fast. Eli Rabba says, don't eat more than usual. Why? The Azlo Yoel Lo Atinus. The fast is not even going to do so much for you. Shari Oso Mosaro Sho'ochel. The extra that you ate, Yishmor Lola Yom Taniso, will help you the next day. So that's not the point. The point isn't just not to eat. The point is to feel something, to be in a little bit of pain. Some uncomfortability. Person's going to eat so much and drink so much, they're going to be great on Tishra. They're going to be running around all day. That's the person's missing the point. The Kafachayim, who's a big Sarari Posek, Kostas Elia Rabba as well. Or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and the next page in source 4. He was asked, can you take vitamins on Yom Kippur for a healthy Erev Yom Kippur? Should a healthy person take vitamins? And he says as follows. He says, the Adam Bari Mutterlo, the Gamish Mitzvah Lacha B'Tishol HaChodesh Yosem Nikarago. Not only is it allowed, but there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and eat more than usual. The Oset Titzdaki, person who has tricks, Ayude vitamins. Oh, infusia, which is? Yeah? Limnoa lahakim elavas ha'inui, to make it easier, lighter. Huke'e novel b'rshus ha'torah. That's a famous line in the Ramban. Sometimes you can keep all the halachas in the world. You could be b'rshus the Torah, you could be doing right, but it's novel, it's disgusting, it's tricking, it's shtick, it's not right. Says Shlomo Zalman on Erev Yom Kippur, certainly, Kavah Chomer, I think you would say, or at least as much on Tisha B'Av, to have these vitamins and these tricks to make the fast easier, so is Novel versus a Torah. This is many, many poskim who take this approach. And I spoke to, I didn't have a chance to speak today, just to make sure I had this right, but when I spoke to Rabbi Luban about this, I think it was 3 years ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, right when we moved, he told me there's a difference between Advil and caffeine pills and vitamins or other things that make the fast easier. Taking a caffeine pill, it's not making your fast easier. It's that's nothing to do with your fast. You have a headache because you're missing the caffeine, so that's not making you feel better in terms of the fast. That's getting rid of the headache. The same thing with Advil. Now, I don't know if Rabbi Shmuel Kametsky is exactly talking only about vitamins or certain pills that could somehow fill you up or hydrate you more. That's a little different story than a person that has terrible, I have terrible headaches on a fast day. I'm way too addicted to coffee and I'll be banging my head against the wall the whole day. So taking a caffeine pill, that's the time release. So that's not making my fast better, that's just getting rid of the headache from the coffee. So Luban, I'm almost positive, said that there's a difference, that these poskim who say Novel B'Rishus HaTorah wouldn't be talking about an Advil or a caffeine pill. So that's an interesting point that I wanted to bring out. And there's a big discussion about this year. What will be the problem this year? So there's two problems. Number one, Hachana. We're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos to prepare for after Shabbos. So can you take a time release pill at 7:45 this Shabbos? Fast, I think we have to stop eating at 8:02. 7:45, you pop a pill. It's Shabbos. You're preparing for after Shabbos. That's problem number one, potentially. And problem number two is we don't take medicine on Shabbos unless the person's a chol shein bo sakan. A person's so sick they have to lie down. It's really bothering them. Right now, I'm not a chol shein bo sakan. So those would be two potential problems this year. Rav Nevensol, who's the chief rabbi of the Old City, In source 5, he has a sefer called Yerushalayim B'Moadeha, or Moada, and he has Shilos and Shuvos in the back of the sefer. He was asked this question, and he says, Tzarchin. Tzarchin, I don't know. I'm not sure. It requires analysis. Is it a problem? Gam ibnei chashash iser netilas trufos b'shavis. Problem number one potentially is medicine. And problem number two, mishum iser achana l'chol. So Rav Demetzol is uncertain. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says it's a problem of hachana, but it's not a problem of refuah. Why is it not a problem of refuah?
Because
you don't need it yet. So you're not sick yet. The Shulchan Aruch writes that a person who's healthy is allowed to take food or medicine that's not food, I mean medicine. A healthy person is allowed to take medicine. A sick person can't take medicine. A person at 7:45 this Shabbos is not a chola. So if they're not a chola, there's no prohibition to take medicine. That's one rationale. The other rationale is that right now it's not really refuah. It's preventative. Normally, a person takes Advil. They have a headache, so that's a different story. But if a person, it's not making them better. It's just preventing something to happen later, so there'll be no problem with refuah. But Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says it's a problem of achana. So he says, what can you do? Take the pill and mash it up and eat it with food. So you're not doing an act of achana. It's not recognizable. It's not nikkur. It's only a problem of achana if it's recognizable. For example, if a person knows it's going to rain on Motzei Shabbos. What? But do before Shabbos. Do before Shabbos.
If it's time release, that's not going to be a good thing.
Okay, I'm not sure if he's saying before Shabbos. I'll give an example. You go to shul for mincha. Okay? You go to shul for mincha, and it's not raining. You have no reason to take a raincoat. It's not raining, but it's threatening. It's threatening, and you want your raincoat to be able to walk home from shul after Shabbos. So can you wear your raincoat? It's a chana. You're only taking it because it's after Shabbos. So it's not raining. You live next door to the shul. It's not raining. So halacha is you're allowed to. Because it's not nikar. It's not that you're tricking anyone. There's nothing wrong per se with wearing a raincoat. You're doing a fracha. So this is the same.
Is there any issue of things like shiva?
No, because it has to be. I think to get into all the nitty gritty of achana, we don't have the time now. But I don't think so. So that's what he says. Rav Shmuel Felder, who's a big posek in Lakewood today, he says also not only is it not a problem of refuah, but it's not a problem of hachana for this exact reason. Hachana, if a person does prepare something for after Shabbos, if a person takes something that wasn't ready and makes it ready for after Shabbos, that's hachana. But just taking a pill, again, assuming there's no problem of refuah, you're not doing anything out of the norm, so there's no problem of hachana. If a person is learning a sefer during Shal Shudas, so they'll have to put it back on the shelf. You're preparing, you're cleaning for after. That's just an act of taking a sefer and putting it on the shelf. It's not an act that's recognizable as hachana. So, you know, without getting into all the nitty gritty, but that's Rav Shmuel Felder says that it's mutter. It's not. It's not a problem.
Big bold and signed by you.
Unfortunately, the reason why people don't put away their svarim is after Mariv is their machmir on Chana for next Shabbos. Yes, and we should publicly thank Barry now, because if there was no Barry Siegel in the shul, there'd be no sidurim on the shelves, and there'd be nowhere to sit, because all the seats would be full of all the sidurim. So we do thank you very much, Barry, and we'll make a sign. So that's what Rav Shmuel Feller says. There's no problem of refuah, which Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky as well, and not only that, there's no problem of a chana to take the time release pill. If a person wanted to be machmir, and I don't know if you mash it up, but again, I don't know, the doctors in the room can tell us if that's a good idea or not.
It's a very bad idea.
Fine, don't do that. Good. So that's an interesting discussion about, can you make the fast easy? Now I would like to try to understand how to make the fast, how to make Tisha B'Av meaningful. We joked before about the movies. What are we supposed to do on Tisha B'Av? Now, when Tisha B'Av is during the week, and a person goes to work, either after Chatzos, after Mincha, to, so to speak, kill time, makes it a little bit easier. What are we supposed to do? It's a very, very long day. If you come to the Chafetz Chaim video, it's an hour and a half. And what are we supposed to do? So, it's very interesting. There's really not a lot to do. The halacha is we don't learn on Tisha B'Av. Normal things. The Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 8. The Shulchan Aruch describes the five inuyim, and then the Shulchan Aruch writes on the first line, the middle of the line, V'aster likros b'torah neviyim uksuvim. A person can't learn on Tisha B'Av. Ulashanos b'mishnah b'medrash b'gemara halachos v'agados. Whatever you want to learn, you can't learn. Why not? Yishum shenemar pikudei Hashem yisharim misam chilev. Torah makes us happy. We're not supposed to be b'simcha on Tisha B'Av. So learning, which brings us simcha, is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. I joke that for some people, you should make them learn on Tisha B'Av. They say a line from the Kutzker Rebbe. He was known for his sharpness, his charifus. He said people have these visions of what Olam Haba, the world to come, is, and people have these visions of what Gehenna is going to be. He says they're the same thing. Olam Haba and Gehenna are the same thing. It's a shtender and a gemara. It's either Olam Haba or it's Gehenna. Tisha B'Av we don't learn because Tisha B'Av makes us happy. The Aruch HaShulchan.
Learning.
What did I say? Right, I'm sorry. Learning brings us a person simcha. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, but not everyone. For some people, learning brings tsar, it's pain. It's not always so simcha. And even if a person is learning and they're working hard, the mental toughness that it requires, and the concentration and the difficulty, and we're tired, not everyone enjoys it so much. So why is it usher? So says the Aruch HaShulchan that even if a person in their body, if a person doesn't feel it, he says in source number 9, it's a very beautiful line, and like the fifth or sixth word in source 9, Iker Esek HaTorah Misameach Es HaNefesh HaYisraeli. So you're right, our goof might be in pain, our goof might be annoyed by it. There's something about the nefesh, in the nefesh, that appreciates learning. The simcha that hopefully we've all felt at some point in our life, and hopefully more often than not, when you hear a good Dvar Torah, when you understand a piece of Torah, when you have an insight into a pasuk or into a lacha, or have a chiddush, there's a simcha that's real. It says, Af sheyeshel tzar v'yegia b'shas ma'is, at the time that you're learning, it might be painful and hard and difficult. There's a simcha to the soul. And he references and compares this to a very interesting Rambam. There's a somewhat of a famous Rambam. You know, a divorce document can't be forced. If you and this is a big topic today with, you know, the aguna, both in America and Israel, and how to deal with the husbands who don't want to give a get to their husband. To beat the person and to their wife, to beat the person until he gives the get, invalidates the get. It's called a get meusa. A forced get is no good. It's the end of Maseches Gittin. So in certain circumstances, it's okay. The Rambam says you could beat the person until he says, Rotze ani. I want it. So if he wants it, it's not forced. So the Rambam asks himself, that's ridiculous. He's only saying yes because you have a gun to his head. So who cares that he says, Rotze ani, I want it. He doesn't want it. You know he doesn't want it. He's just being coerced. So Rambam says, every Jew wants to do a mitzvah. Every Jew wants the mitzvah. He's screaming he doesn't want to. He really wants it. It's like when we tell our children to do things that we don't want them to do. We tell them it's really for your benefit. You just don't realize it. The Rambam says every Jew, the pintaliyid, every Jew wants to do it. He might not feel at the time, so you're really just beating the Yetzer Hara out of him. So Aruch HaShulchan said the same thing here. every Jew experiences a simcha from their learning, whether they feel or not, so a person cannot learn on Tisha B'Av. However, there are things we're allowed to learn. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the next line in source number 8, Umutter Lilmod Medrash Eicha, a person could learn the Midrashim about Eicha, Uperek Elu Magalchin, which is the third parak of Maseches Morid Katam, which is Olat Hilkos Avelos, V'chein Lilmod Perish Eicha, Uperish Eov. A person can learn Megillas Eicha and Eov. This is called Dvarim HaRa'im, the, so to speak, bad, the negative, the sad, the things about the Churban, a person is allowed to learn on Tisha. We're not going to have time for this. There's a fascinating, maybe we'll get to a little bit, there's a fascinating debate how to view that conceptually. Is a person allowed to learn those things? Or is a person obligated? Meaning, is there a chiyuv of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? There's just a prohibition to learn the happy things, but there's still an obligation to learn. Or no. On Tisha B'Av, Chazal uprooted the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but they allowed you to learn the Dvar Maran. The difference being, if a person has a chance to learn and they don't, is that called Bittul Torah? If a person normally has a chavrusa from 9:30 to 10 o'clock at night, for him to skip that chavrusa to do whatever, it's Bittul Torah. A person has a set time to learn, they're supposed to learn. Tisha B'Av, is that true? If a person spends all day wasting his time, is that a problem? So there are some poskim who say, yes, there still is an obligation to learn on Tisha B'Av. You just can't learn the things that make you happy. But the things that don't make you happy, Avelos and the Chorban and Eicha, so a person is obligated to learn. Rav Shlomo Zalman's Arbach, and this is the same true for an Avel. This is the same thing for an Avel. A person who's in mourning is not allowed to learn. Some poskim say, since they're allowed to learn Hilchos Avelos and those types of things, they have to learn. Rav Shlomo Zalman says absolutely not. And he has a fascinating proof from a Ritva in Moed Katan. And that's source number 10. The Ritva asks a question that there's a conflict between two Gemaras. In Avel, so it's after the burial, a person loses one of the Zayin Krovim, the seven close relatives. So from the time of death until the Kvura, the person's an Onain, and the person does not do any mitzvahs aseh. It can't violate los aseh, but there's no brachos, there's no davening, there's no tefillin, there's no mitzvahs. After the burial, a person's in Shiva. During Shiva, a person is chayav in all mitzvahs except Talmud Torah, and the first day, tefillin. If it's a different day, if the kfur is a different day than the Yom HaMisa, that's the machlokas. The Gemara says an avel is obligated in all mitzvos except for tefillin. The Ritva says, how can you say that? Because an avel also can't learn. So you have a contradiction. On the one hand, an avel can't learn. On the other hand, Avel is chayav in all mitzvahs except for tefillin. Well, if it's except for tefillin, it means he has to learn, but he can't learn. That's the Ritzvah's question in source 10. V'kashya l'cha d'amrinan avel aser divrei Torah. You're going to tell me that Avel can't learn. V'lo hasam amrinan, over there, the Gemara in Sukkah, we say, shu chayav l'cha mitzvos hamuras b'torah. Chutz min tefillin. He's obligated in everything except for tefillin. So it says the Ritzvah, yeshlomar, she'ein l'meidin min haklalos. We don't learn from rules, meaning it's not a blanket rule. Afal pi shenemar ben chus. Even though it says you're putter, you're chayav and everything except for tefillin, doesn't mean only except for tefillin, also means except for Torah. So that means you don't have to learn. An avil doesn't have to learn. An avil is completely putter from learning. An avil is completely putter. There's no mitzvah. The person wants to, of course, the person's allowed to. But says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that's on the next source, we're not going to read inside, on the next page, you see from this Ritva very clearly that an Avel, and the same thing is true in Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is no different than Shiva, a person, there's no chiv of Talmud Torah at all. A person wants to learn Eicha, a person wants to go to a shir, a person wants to go and see a video with inspiring speakers and Musar, a person's allowed to. If a person's not feeling it, a person wants to quote-unquote waste his time, we'll get to that more in a minute, there's no problem of Bittul Torah. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman goes so far to say that a person who spends all their avelos just learning the things they're allowed to learn, is missing the point. The point of Shiva is not to sit and learn other things. The point of Shiva, we'll get to this a little bit more in a minute, is to talk about the Mace, to talk about their life, to talk about their accomplishments, to speak what people speak about at Shiva. The point is not to learn. Not everyone holds that way. I'll tell you a story which is admittedly extreme. And not Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I was told that when, and this paints Rabbi Yashiv Zecher Tzadik Bracha in a little bit of a cold way. So please understand that his whole life was just Torah. When he had a daughter, Rabbi Yashiv, who was Nifteris. I believe it's Rabbi Zilberstein's wife was Rabbi Yashiv's daughter. And when they told him that his daughter passed, she was very sick for a while. And they told him that his daughter had passed away. He was in his room learning Baba Kama. Rabbi Yashiv learned like 19 hours a day. He was in his house, in his room, learning Baba Kama. And they told him after a long illness that she succumbed to her illness and she passed away. He closed the Baba Kama, went to the shelf, got a Maseches Moichot down, and sat back down and continued learning. Now that's Rabbi Yashiv. That's a story that I certainly can't relate to for a lot of reasons. Rav Shlomo Zalman said not that way. Someone's on said that the person is not criticizing Rabbi Yashiv, but he's saying that the point of Avelis, the point of Shiva, is not to learn the whole time. And if someone's on value learning, obviously. The person's missing the point. Tisha B'Av as well. If a person would spend all day learning and learning all the things that he's allowed to learn, there's no difference between Thursday before Tisha B'Av, except that he's learning Baba Kama, and on Tisha B'Av they're learning Avelis, so a person's missing the point. So now that furthers the question, what are we supposed to be doing at Tisha B'Av? So we don't have to learn, and there's not even that much that we can learn. So what can we do? So it's interesting. There's really not all that much that we could do. If you skip a little bit, if you skip to page 7, I'll tell you a lot of things we can't do on Tisha B'Av. Ein Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein she'il ha'shalom l'chaver b'tisha b'av. We don't ask people how they're doing. Poskim say you ought to say good morning. You ought to say have a good night. You ought to say refuah shleima if someone's not well. You ought to say mazel tov if there's a simcha. We don't say how are you. An avel is not supposed to say how are you. We don't say to an avel how are you, because they're not well. Obviously, they're suffering a terrible loss. You don't say shalom aleichem or how's everything going. Tisha b'av as well. And the Shulchan writes, if people don't know and they say shalom, so they can respond with like a soft, quick hello with a certain kovet rosh, a seriousness. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Avelos says that if she'ela shalom is aser, kol shekein in Surah 17, she'aser laharbos bedvarim. You're not supposed to talk a lot. It's not a time, Avelos and Tishrei the same, to sit and shmooze. It could be a great day. There's nothing else to do. We're not really going to be outside because it's going to be hot. So a great day to call old friends and catch up. It'll be certainly a safe time in the era of Rosh Hashanah. A great day. Sunday afternoon, you sit in the air-conditioned house, catch up. Shulchan Aruch says, Anava doesn't do that. Anava doesn't schmooze. You talk about the Nifter. You talk about the Avelis. You don't just stam, have a good time. The Mishnah Berurah in Source 18 is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that there's a custom to go to a cemetery on Tisha B'Av. It's a serious day. It kind of sets a certain tone and puts us in a certain mood on Tisha B'Av, right? Imagine you're going. You realize what's the end of life. So there's a minhag to go to a cemetery. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the middle of the line, Kasav B'Shla, the Shla writes, Shenachon shlo leilech b'chenufia gedola. You shouldn't go in a big group. You shouldn't go with a big group. Why? Ki ein ze ela tiyul. It becomes a trip. The gam mevi li de sichas chulin. You're with a big group. You're going to end up shmoozing. Ume sichin dayut on the avelus. It's going to be a hesach hadas. The person's, their mind's not going to be on the avelus. You're going to sit and you'll be in the car. You'll be on a bus. You'll be walking together and you'll be shmoozing, shooting the breeze. So that creates a hesach hadas. A person's mind is not focused on the avelus. Shulchan Aruch in Source 19. Yesh mi shomer shol yelech v'yatayel b'shuk. Don't go to the marketplace. Kidei shol yavli de schok v'kalus v'hitul. Now, I don't know what marketplace they went to caused schok v'hitul and kalus rosh. You go to Costco at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and there's no schulk, you'll be absolutely miserable the rest of the day. But some shooks, I guess, were, shuk Machne Yehuda could be a fun, enjoyable experience. We should be going on a trip. We should be going on a trip. One of the, yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan says, based on this, person shouldn't read novels. Person shouldn't study things they don't need to study. So there's a lot of, the point isn't to make this all about the restrictions. There's a lot that we can't do. We're supposed to focus on the avelos. But what does that mean? And I don't know that I have a good answer. We'll try to talk it out. What are we supposed to do? So let's say we say kinos, we get through the morning, we get to mincha, and now we get home at 2 o'clock. And the fast is over late. So we could learn some things you don't have to learn. There's a lot that you can't learn daf yomi. You can find something to learn for a little bit, go to a shir. We can't go on a trip. We can't schmooze with friends. What really is there to do?
Read about the Holocaust.
Yeah, so we'll, there are books. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would read history books from a Jewish vantage point about Korban HaBayis. The Mishneh Berurah talks about that as well. More contemporary posts can read the Holocaust book. Tisha B'Av today has really become almost like another Yom HaShoah. Almost every shir and speech and kinos talk you hear is very, because we can relate to that a little bit more than the Korban.
I'm going to say,
Maris
is called this Avelah Yishalayim. Right. So what's Avelah? Avelah is recognizing what happened, what we lost, and then how do we deal with that? I would argue, frankly, that the films themselves are really an antidote to remind us. If it was Sinas Chinam, so let's focus on other Sinam.
How to rebuild it.
So there's Toelis there.
Right. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's no Toelis in these videos, but they're great. I try to go every year or let my wife go, and I'll watch the kids while she goes. The videos are amazing and they're inspiring, and for sure, to rectify what got us in the front, that's the only way we're going to be able to rebuild the base of English. But I want to share a quick comment of...
There is streaming from the hotel.
Okay, I mean, I'm telling you, entertainment's the wrong word. You could be busy all day. You have J.J. Schachter's live stream from TNEC, which is excellent. And you have Rabbi Golib in Yerushalayim, which is live stream, which is good. And you have the Chafetz Chaim video. I'm telling you, you're busy all day in front of the computer. I mean, again, it's not great. So one line of Rosh Hashanah, which I think frames it. And he's talking about Avelos, and I think the same thing is true. It's the last page on page number 8. He's talking about Avelos. As we said before, Shmuel Zalman said an Avel shouldn't spend the whole Avelos sitting and learning. But Amar Rabbeinu in the first line on source 22, She'ikar matara simeha of Avel, the main purpose of the Avelos, hu shiyeha ha'avel yoshev domain, to sit quietly, umisbonein bima she'ir elo, and to think about what happened. To think about the Nifter or the Nifteres, but also to think about what happened. It's horrible. It's tragic. It's a terrible loss. Look what life has become. Look what this means. A person to sit and think about that. If that translates to Tisha B'Av, to think about what we don't have. Now, we don't really know because we never had it. That's why it's harder when a person loses a loved one. So they have years and years, decades, to harp on and to think about and to focus on. So then the loss is that much more painful. We never had a Beis HaMikdash. But to think about what we had, the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nisim, the miracles we had, and we saw everyone say, if I saw miracles, then my Emunah would be rock solid. They had open miracles day in and day out. They had the ability, a person sinned b'shogeg, to bring a korban chatas and to be free of chet, the simcha they had when they brought the korban chatas, to see the simcha of Beis HaShoeva on Sukkot, to bring a korban todah, to thank. And we're missing all that. The connection they had, the closeness, the kohen. You walk through Yerushalayim today and you go to the whole city and we're wowed by the kotel. That's a sliver. And to just stop, and we can't, I'm not saying for 6 hours we're going to be able to think about that, but to focus a little bit on what we don't have and how our lives would be that much more meaningful and richer and religiously more enhanced if we had the Beis HaMikdash. But there's something a little bit deeper, and we'll close with that. Rav Nevenzahl has a beautiful piece in his Sefer where he asks the following question. There's a Ramban in Vayikra, which seems to say that the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Golus, came about, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, Tachas Asher Lo Avaratas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. The Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, in the Tochacha, that we were kicked out of the land. The Ramban said that's alluding to the second Churban, because we didn't serve Hashem B'Simcha. So Rav Nevenzahl says, what do you mean? The Gemara says, it's because of Simas Chinam. So, which one is it? Was it because of Simas Chinam, or is it because they didn't serve Hashem with Simcha? And the same Ramban says the first Galus, the first Churban happened because they didn't keep Shemitah properly. And says Ramban, what do you mean? The Gemara says the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because the Gil Arayos, Shrikos Dalm, and Avodah Zarah. So what's going on? So Rav Nevenzahl says that what is a common denominator between all these things, at least the first two, Tachas Asher Lo Avat, Hashem Kech B'Simcha, serving Hashem B'Simcha, and not keeping Shemitah, which is a lack of Emunah. If a person has real rock solid belief in Hashem and trust in Hashem, so there's no problem for Shemitah. A person who doesn't keep Shemitah, doesn't trust that God says if you don't touch the land for a full year, you're going to be okay. A person who can't come to grips with that, a person who in an hour day has to work on Shabbos and doesn't believe that, that person has Emunah. Tachas Asher Lo Avat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha, says Rav Nevenzahl, if a person believed in Tzchar V'Onesh, the person believed in God and that God has a system where He's going to punish us for what we do right. No? Reward us for what we do right and punish us for what we do wrong. So that person would walk around and they serve Hashem full of Simcha. I have this relationship with God and I'm going to be rewarded for this. What? A person would walk. Both of those sins come from a lack of Emunah and Bitachon on faith and trust in Hashem. And he says the same thing is true with the other sins. So many, the root of the sins that we commit is from a lack of Emunah, a lack of belief in Hashem. If we really believed that Hashem runs the world, everything that happens to us happens for a reason. Every person that interacts with us was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we believe in that, so there'd be no sin of skin. So much of the fighting is because it's a lack. So much of everything. So many of the problems of the Gimel Chamuros as well. If we believed in Hashem with a rock solid Emunah, so these sins don't happen. So it could be that Tisha B'Av, where Shlomo Zalman is saying that what to think about, besides the fact of the lives that we could have been living if there was a Beis HaMikdash, to focus a little bit on Emunah. That would be my suggestion. Now we all believe, but to think through a little bit from our lives, all the things that were orchestrated by our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when at the time we didn't realize why it was happening, we could probably all write books about things in our lives that maybe a year later, 5 years later, 30 years later, we look back and say, wow, that happened, God's orchestrating the world from above. When we recognize that Emunah, which is much harder today without a Beis HaMikdash, so then, as Larry said, we start to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. If according to Rav Nevenzahl, it was a lack of Emunah that brought about the destruction, but it gets us thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think about our lives, what happens in our lives, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us in our lives, to solidify that Emunah, that recognition of God and the role that He plays in our lives. So then I believe that Tisha B'Av can be a much more meaningful day. And if it's more meaningful, there'll be an easy fast as well. Everyone should have an easy, whether you're going to take a pill or not, it should be an easy fast. It should be a meaningful fast. We thank again David and Didi for an unbelievable spread. We'll dive in Marv in 3 minutes. Please take more food, take home for your... It looks like we have a minion. We'll have a minion. Please take, if it's okay with David, take him some food for your spouses and friends.